right, and welcome to the show. It is alternative progressive rock artist Sean Faust. Welcome, sir.
Thanks for having me, man. What's going on?
I'm delightful. I'm your host, Sully, and we're just doing another inspiring music interview. Always looking for some indie music talent to pick their brain and see how they're making it happen, and hopefully this does not disappoint.
Cool.
Sean's interests and inspirations include Dream Theater, Grateful Dead, Yes, Bruce Hornsby, Black Sabbath, Spock's Beard, The Doors, and of course Pink Floyd.
Yeah, most definitely Pink Floyd.
All right, very nice. And you, most people can find him on, again, Space Hay, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and of course YouTube. So you've been doing this for about 14 years, I think you said. It was around the 2000s.
It was around, I want to say, I went solo around 2004. 2001, I finished, in 2001, Money for the Toll, which was my prog rock band, broke up.
Yes.
And then I took some time off. I was in two tribute bands at that point. I was in Erotomania, which was a Dream Theater tribute. And then I was in Slippery When Wet, New Jersey, which it's New Jersey. It's Slippery When Wet. It's got to be Bon Jovi. So mm-hmm. I was keeping myself musically busy with that. And I was paying the bills musically with that and teaching guitar and piano at the same time. And then just I think I got the bug around 2003, 2004 when I started getting into Phish. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to whip out the acoustic. I hadn't played guitar in God knows how long at that point. And I started doing the solo thing around then. I started recording a solo album in 2001 because of that. That's a long story that I will not bore you with because it's long and it's kind of boring.
Okay.
So, So my main solo thing that I do started around 2004. And I've been busy ever since then. Around 2009. Because you had mentioned 2001, The bass player Gordon from Money for the Toll was like, look, you know, the band's broken up, blah, 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 blah. Right. But, you know, we all love these songs and they should all have a proper recording. And I was like, dude, that is a perfect idea. Let's do that. So I'm always gigging. He's working a full time job. So scheduling that to finish that album was nuts. So 2009, my brother goes in, does two takes of each tune, like nails them. Like he's been hearing this material since the mid 90s up until 2001 when we broke up. So he just knows this stuff. So he did a killer job. The drums on that album are fantastic. That they could be his calling card. And Bruce, who's the guitar player, laid down most of his tracks within 2 or 3 months at his home. Nice. I did a lot of my keyboards. You know, the home recording thing is really where it's at if you know what you're doing. I don't. So for me to record a guitar, if I was recording electric guitars, forget it. Like I can record a rhythm electric guitar, and I'll let Gordon mix my stuff because Gordon mixes my stuff perfectly. If I tried doing it, it would sound like crap. So he had all that stuff done and I didn't. I would say like my keyboards were done probably within a weekend or 2 weekends.
Nice.
The vocals, on the other hand, were different because I'm not singing that aggressively anymore. So, and I'm gigging all the time. So I need to have my voice usable. And some of the stuff on that Money for the Toll album, it took me 2 recording sessions to do the opening track because of how aggressive the vocals are.
Were they Robert Fulton and Ronnie Parks?
Robert Fulton and Ronnie Parks were in the Mostly Pink Floyd show. Ronnie Parks, he's in that band Bonfire now, European Superstars Bonfire.
Mm.
I know him from, he was in Slippery When Wet.
Right.
And he started playing with me, on my my solo stuff. And then when I left Slippery When Wet, we did an acoustic cover thing for a little while because Ronnie and I really loved playing together. But then he got the Bonfire gig and it was pretty much I'm trying to remember who he was working with at the time, but he did some shows with David Reese from Accept. And then David Reese was out here for a while. So like David was at all these acoustic duo shows that Ronnie and I were doing, which was pretty cool because that guy is awesome. And that guy has some
pipes. Like, what are you doing here with us?
I'm like, especially like some of the tiny bars we're playing, like David would show up and like, you know, he would hang out and like, dude, just like sing something. And like, you know, I would start playing Balls to the Wall. And it's like, ah, it's not the album you're on. What the hell am I playing Balls to the Wall for? But what, first of all, I can't speak highly enough about David Reese either. And I guess that's going to be my celebrity name drop of this interview. So Ronnie and I loved playing together. And then Ronnie just, he did, I'd say 90% of the bass on my solo stuff is him. Mm-hmm. And then the latest single, Gin Asylum, was Gordon. That was, and oh yeah. It was, anyway,
studio
yeah.
Is Bird in Flight.
Bird in Flight is the guitar player, drummer. I don't know what, I think that's what he's going to call it. So Bird in Flight is also Chill Bill.
Chill Bill, okay.
Of the Adventure soundtrack. And he, now he did a lot of the stuff on Gin Asylum. He played the picking guitar part. He played the bass and drums on Happy Song. He, and a guitar solo. Bird in Flight, aka Chill Bill, has been all over my recordings since, I want to say, 2009, 2010. So when you see that name. So Money for the Toll, it's Gordon is the bass player. He also played bass, and he produces and mixes all my solo stuff.
And does he mix stuff for other indie talent? Or
I'm special in that way that it's mainly me, or it's Money for the Toll, which we just released that album back in July. He, in 2009-8, our friend Mitch Savoy had a song on Ugly Betty. So he mixed that tune for her.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to go to high school with people that produce shows so you can get like a cool royalty check every now and then, I guess. I wouldn't know. I don't have that kind of connection, I don't think. And if I do, I don't know why people aren't like saying, hey, Sean, give us that crappy song that we can use in the background on TV where we're going to change the pitch, but you'll make money from it.
You'll get there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So is that a girlfriend or
family? That's my wife.
Okay, nice. And
my wife.
And she does your artwork.
She does my artwork, yep. And I just give her ideas. And I say, hey, go with this. Like the live recordings, it's pretty much anytime somebody takes a picture where the camera moves and just looks blurry, I'm like, that's a live recording. That's live recording cover art. But yeah, she does all of my posters, or you know, my gig art, my album cover art. Yeah, man, you did some cool research there, bringing up the wife. Nice.
All it takes is just going to someone's website. It's amazing how many will just want to just copy and paste, like they made just the simplest intro. And it's like, no, just, you know, your questions, so write them down. But
we'll return after these messages.
Hello and welcome to Culture Shocked, the pop culture podcast brought to you by four aging millennials and our outdated opinions. Join us every Tuesday as we discuss movies, TV, games, and even music, new and old.
Dude, what do you think you're doing?
Are you seriously trying to record a promo without us right now?
Well, yeah.
Dude, you can't just do the promo by yourself. Who's gonna listen to that?
Yeah, and you probably haven't even told them that we're a pop culture podcast where we always agree on everything. For instance, the Sam Raimi trilogy easily being the best of the Spider-Man movies.
No. But I think we can all agree that Jaws is a classical masterpiece.
Nope, don't like that. But we do all agree that the sequel trilogy of Star Wars is the best in the Skywalker saga, right, guys?
That comment is so ridiculous. I don't even know where to
Anyways, that'll do it from all of us here at Culture Shock. Thanks for listening.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
Mm-hmm. We let things pile up in the DVR. We add them to our queues. We wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide, all across the globe. We are in the US, we are in the UK, we are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan, we're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
You've been an outspoken fan, most notably, Rush, especially in a previous interview that was done by, we just had him on here. They were so awesome, but pedestrian at best.
I thought you were talking about him. All right, yeah.
And you just unloaded on it. I was like, that's awesome. what was your main major before you started branching out into music? Did you already have something in sight, or was it just kind of improvising? It's like, I don't know what the hell to do, but.
I kind of always wanted to do the music thing ever since I was a kid. Like when I was a kid, I was taking a lot of writing classes. I wanted to be a novelist. And I don't know where the hell I went. That disappeared at some point, probably before I was a teenager, maybe in my early teens.
It's a fad. It's not.
I was very into it for years. I still have my original typewriter, which much to my wife's chagrin.
It's probably a collector's item now.
Oh, it's got to be. It's got to be. I wonder how much that thing is worth.
PBS Museum.
Right? But I was playing piano since I was a kid. So, like, music was always in me. Nice. And then just one day, it was just what I wanted to do. And that's what I was going to do. And 1995, Money for the Toll began as a one-man band. And then it just... Gordon was the first official member, but there were always people from it. Christopher from the Weird Next Project. I can't remember his band at the moment, which upsets me because he's one talented Canadian guy. Speaking of Canadians like Rush, nice. Christopher. My brother was the drummer for a while. And then we had Pat, who moved to Texas. He's down in your area. Awesome. He's an awesome, awesome drummer. If you've seen just an awesome drummer. I don't know if he's played with... You've got Prima Donna out there, which, by the way, you've got a bar out there in Dallas. It's called... Port
David's Pub is one. And there's...
No. I thought the name of it was hysterical because of the incident. Oh, who's the guy that shot Kennedy? Ruby killed the guy. What the hell is his name? This is going to bother me because I saw the name of this...
Chicago. No, he was part of the Chicago. I should know it too. Shit.
My God, you'd think.
I know, it's just unpleasant, so I don't really think about it.
Well, you know. Anyway.
No.
Pat lives down there in that area, and Pat's awesome. Oh, it's called Lee Harvey's. Is the name of the bar. Lee Harvey's in Dallas. I just need to play there just for the irony of it. But I had gone and seen a band called Prima Donna. They're a Madonna tribute. And I was like, I'm all about that. I mean, you think I could unload about Rush? I can unload about Madonna, too. I'm into everything. So anyway, Money for the Toll became a thing. Started off in an acoustic thing, became a prog rock thing, and then ended. And then I went and sold my soul, whoring myself out playing Dream Theater covers and Bon Jovi covers. And then any other kind of covers. Lee Harvey's. Lee Harvey's. that almost destroyed me there, man. I was like, hey, you know, that's good pod. That's good pod when for 2 minutes people are going, what the hell was that guy's name?
What the hell are they talking about?
And you know, people that are listening right now are like, guys, seriously? Come on. Guys, come on. They're yelling at it for 2 minutes. Yeah. They're like, and you're in Dallas, brother. I mean, you've got no excuse, but I'm a history nerd, so I have no excuse either.
I know
either.
About Art Oswald. I just didn't realize the bar was also named after there's plenty of attractions where everyone thinks, hey, you live here, you must go to it all the time. I'm like, no. It's a tribe.
Yeah, because for me, it's an attraction. For you, it's just like that place you pass on the way to work or on the way to the grocery store.
Now I'm in Fort Worth now, so I got no reason to go.
Oh, fair enough.
Oh, man.
So anyway, yeah, music was always going
to
be my
thing. It was always in your life in some capacity, and then it slowly built up to a passion turn, a second way of income.
For a long time, it was my main source of income. But what happens is, like, there's a thought process that if you have music out there that's on Spotify or iTunes or something, and I'm not shaming anybody that thinks this way. It's ignorance, and not all ignorance is negative. Like, I'm ignorant to science. I just do not comprehend it whatsoever. So not all ignorance is like hating like people because of their religion or the color of their skin. Some ignorance is just, I don't know enough about that to form
math are hard.
Exactly. So there's a lot of people out there like, oh, your music's on Spotify, you must have gotten paid. It's like, that's not how it works.
It's just there so you can access it, just like YouTube.
Yeah, if you want me to get paid, you should buy my music. And I would love that if people would buy my music. But it was a good way to make income, like a lot of covers, of course. And I did a lot of traveling with Slippery When Wet that I would probably not have done otherwise. And it was great. It's just weird that, like, you know, a good chunk of change that I made from playing music was from playing somebody else's music, while the band that we were playing is still touring and still alive and still around. Like, I can see, like, a Grateful Dead tribute touring makes perfect sense. The Grateful, like, the Dead is the Dead, and like, or Fare Thee Well was Fare Thee Well, and all those, like, all those There's other all splinters of what the Grateful Dead were, they're still, yeah, the guys from the Dead are still playing up, but the Grateful Dead, so a tribute band is touring, the Pink Floyd tributes, like the Machine and all those guys that
There's
are touring,
one called
it
Naked
makes sense.
Lunch, I think, as well, and they combine a bunch of different just out there material, and sometimes that really is as simple as that. Take two artists you love and mix their material together.
There's a band called Pink Talking Fish where they do Floyd, Talking Heads, and Fish.
Man.
And they are awesome. They can like just go seamlessly from Floyd to the Heads or to Fish or like, you know, whatever your combination is gonna be. There was one night they did all of Dark Side of the Moon for the first set, but everything else was in between. It was really badass. So, yeah, I mean, anybody with a niche can do that.
Nice.
But then, you know, one day, like, it was just that, you know, traveling for a gig is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And
hotels.
Exactly, yeah.
People's places to crash at.
And so all you young kids that are out there thinking, I want to make a career in music, let me tell you something. Go find something else you're passionate about. Or have a good business sense, because I've played with a lot of people that just, they don't want to think about the business. It's like, that's cool that like you'd like to go further, but if you don't want to think about the business, you're only going to go so far.
Mm-hmm.
Clearing even, having your covers expenses is not getting paid. That's right. Just playing for free, essentially, just not for the venue. But if you're only covering your expenses, you're not getting paid. So have a good business sense, kids. It's really important to have that business sense. Playing for fun, there's nothing wrong with it. But don't expect a person that does it for a living to do it for free because you want to play for fun.
It'll have a limit on it to where
God, it's not even the burnout factor. It's just that, like, hey, like, it's cool and all that. I can do this for you, but, like, you got to meet me halfway at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now I work in animal rescue full time. I'm fortunate enough to have had, like, a calling that.
How long have you been doing that?
3 years, but I've been loving animals for my entire life. Yeah, pretty much. And I've got a feral cat that I care for. Once I moved here, that's almost 7 years ago. There was a feral cat. I'm in northern New Jersey.
Okay, wonderful. And what was the name of the group? Of the rest?
I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to say that it's in northern New Jersey as well. And we're a no-kill shelter. And we're on the border of New York and New Jersey.
Okay.
In like the western area. Because I don't know how they would feel about me talking about some of my musical debauchery, which we haven't yet. But who knows? I mean, we're still early here.
Better research. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Yeah. But I would definitely say adopt, don't shop. you know, if you want to ask me off air, I would definitely answer that.
Okay, no, that's fine.
Cool.
And altogether, so you still have your own personal studio that you can play some jams at every once in a while and
record. Yeah. I'm releasing a live album on February 3rd. I think it's the whatever that first Friday of February is. I got a live album coming out. It's volume 4, 50/50, because I took a live recording I did and I decided I was going to add some guitar solos over it.
Nice.
Like at a later date. So it's 50% the live recording and then just 50% overdubs of electric guitars. Mm. I just thought it'd be something different just to keep. You can only release so many live albums of you strumming or finger picking and singing something before people are like, all right, yeah. So I like my live releases to be different. Well, volume 2, the guy that mixed that put a harmonizer on some of the vocal parts. So I was like, all right, that's, you know, it's cool. Like it's a cool niche to go with. So I got that coming out. And I'm also working on another full studio album, which probably like the Money for the Troll album. It'll probably take me 13 years to finish, but who knows? So I find myself really, really busy between music and working with animals, which I can't imagine not working with animals anymore because I love it so much.
Absolutely. And so here's the main deal. So for those who have time to do this outside of their day job, what's rule number one, aside from just getting a good night's sleep and, you know, having some time management and putting aside a certain amount of sound equipment to start investing in?
Know the value of your time.
There you go.
So if it's something that you're doing to blow off steam, that's cool. If it's something you're doing because my view is I only have so many hours in the day. I only have so many years in life. And music, to some degree, is still a source of income for me. It's not my major source of income, and it's not breaking the bank. However, it's still a source of income. And if I see myself, oh, somebody wants me to do a Night of Floyd covers, cool. What does it pay? And it's, well, you know, why does it have to pay? It's like, because I don't know what it's like down there, but rooms around here, there's no built-in crowds anymore. There haven't been built-in crowds forever. So the rooms rely on the artist's draw, which is cool. An artist is going to draw. They're going to bring people in. But if I'm bringing money into your establishment, you're going to share some of that money with me. It's just, mm-hmm. It's only right. Once again, it's that business sense. But I'm also not as abrasive about it as I just sounded. But I would say know the value of your time, but also know what your overall goal is. Are you doing it just for the hell of it?
Yeah,
exactly. Like me, if I'm going to go play Floyd covers for 2 hours to bring a crowd in so a bar can make some extra money on like a whatever night, cool.
Yeah.
But I also know that they're going to give me some of that money or else I'm just not going to do it. And it's not like they can't find somebody else to do it. It's not like, oh, well, we can't get Sean Faust. We might as well close for the night. Like, I'm not saying that about myself, but there are people I know that
anyone don't say something and then ring back on it. I actually can't do that. Can you still come? No.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like, no, like know what you're going to do. Or if you want to do it for fun, like just keep doing it and just have fun with it. I mean, at the end of the day, as much as I'm business oriented and I really know the value of my time, especially now working in animal rescue full time, I'm even more adamant about some of the business end of things where I look back on before that, like, man, I really should have been tougher about this, or I should have been a little more strict with this, or I really should have paid more attention to focusing on my goals instead of focusing on how much I enjoyed the people I was playing with that weren't career minded.
Right.
So, but that's all on me. I don't fault anybody. I always had fun with it. And the main thing is know the value of your time and have fun. If you're not having fun, people are going to know. And let me tell you, man, and you amazing listeners, the audience doesn't care if you're having a shitty day. So if you're up there on stage and you're like, oh, my neck, oh, my knee hurts. The audience doesn't care. They want to sing along to what you're playing. Mm-hmm. That's it. And when I say sing along to what you're playing, it depends on what kind of band you're doing. Like, so if I'm up there just strumming chords and singing along, it's cool. But if you're doing a tribute band, a lot of people, like say Pink Floyd, like those guitar solos from Gilmore are an extension of his voice. People are singing along to that. So if you're a Pink Floyd tribute and you're out there having fun and doing it, but you kind of want to go further, but you're not playing those solos note for note, you're not going to go that far. Mm-hmm. People are going to be like, wow, something's off about this. Know your parts.
Yeah, and have more than just one, your parents clapping in the audience, you know?
You know, there are people out there that, like, for years, like, they'll play the same area to the same people. And, like, these are their friends, these are their family, and, like, they're not, like, overly critical. They're going to say nice things to them. Because they either just don't know any better, which is nothing wrong with that, or B, they're sincerely enjoying it, whatever it is. But like, so there are people out there that have never had any kind of like negative criticism or constructive criticism where they have to think about like, oh, maybe I'm not doing this right. It's kind of like those people that you see going to like American Idol or all those shows where it's like,
yeah,
my mommy says I'm the best singer. Well, you're not. Like, you're clearly not. Pitch. It's just not something for baseball.
Right. And don't just be like, oh, I'm going to win anyway, because that's kind of how this reality show works. We go for the one who's, you know, a corporate, you know, viable entity.
Exactly. There you go. Like, who's the most marketable? Whose look can we sell? Whose soul can we transfer?
You have to have talent. You just have to have a look and easy money. And people will even, you know, hate watch or hate buy something.
I understand the concept of hate watch, but maybe for me, it's because I don't have the time to hate. Well, like, isn't there, can't we be more productive? We've got to be more productive.
It still happens. You will see people at the grocery store. They will buy a stupid, Smack Talk magazine for $20. I'm like, oh my god, you must have nothing better to do.
Well, those are the kind of people that, like, you know, the news to them is whatever Uncle Milt posts on social media. Like, well, that must be true. It's not, because nobody wants to do their research anymore either. So why do their research?
It's easy to click on the first clickbait article.
And then that's that, whether it's true or not, that's the first thing I heard, so that must be the truth.
Yeah. And then looking for all the resources, who's verifiable.
Who's got time for that?
Oh, that's a lot of bullshit you gotta get through. I was really digging so many of your tracks on Spotify. Jen is Silent almost gave me a Jimmy Eat World vibe.
Cool.
I find it easy. It had a really just cool kind of orchestra feel with pop artist Kate Lewis, and a man named Jane kind of had more of a folks stance, and you did that with Mikey Mason.
Yes, the great Mikey Mason.
So when you're doing a collab, how do you organize those collaborations? Do you just decide, as you've already summed up, split the bill and find a venue and, schedule it?
It depends. It depends. So if I'm doing a recording, like, say, I find it easy. I had demoed that when Skyfall was coming out, because I was like, man, I'm a nobody. So my chances of getting my song in a Bond movie are so huge because I'm a nobody, because, me being the huge James Bond fan I am, of course they're gonna be like, oh my god, Sean Faust wants his song in a movie, yes, let's get him, even though nobody's ever heard of him. That's great. But I wrote it, and like I couldn't sing the chorus. Like, I remember demoing it up and it's just way too high for my range to sound good.
It's a hard tackle, because like it, but other people might like it. And then you're just saying, something's just off about it. I don't want to put my name on it.
Well, it was more or less just, I didn't mind playing the keys and the guitars on it. It was just like that vocal in the chorus is really high. And even the bridge is really high. So I kind of like just put it, like, woodshedded it for a couple of years. And then when Spectre was coming out, I was like, I got to finish this song and get it out. And Kate had done some mostly Pink Floyd shows with me by that point. So I was like, oh my God, she's like the best singer I've ever worked with. I got to get Kate. I sent her the demos. And Kate is one of those vocalists. I got her into the Bird in Flight studio. Mm-hmm. And she's one of those vocalists that will come in and nail it on the first take. And then what I had her do for that one was vamp. So on that bridge, you're hearing like the higher stuff in the background. I love it when she vamps. I did a song in 2012 after Hurricane Sandy where I was just like, vamp at the end of this, vamp at the end of this. And I loved everything that she did, that it all ended up at the end of that track. It's just that track wasn't very well received, which is fine. That's life. So when I got her for this one, after she had laid down her like initial tracks, I was like, all right, you know what I'm gonna ask you to do. So the really awesome stuff that's happening from the bridge out that she's doing vamp-wise is just, it's Kate Lewis. What can I say? She's perfect. So with that, it was just really easy. There was really no like cost. It was my gig, so it was my bill. And a guy named Jane, I'm a huge fan of Firefly and Serenity. And Mikey Mason's got a lot of tunes about Firefly and Serenity also.
All these cool sci-fi shows that many know, but you know, just any kind of fan art, any kind of tribute or homage is appreciated.
You know? Oh, and like especially like, you know, you go and you talk to somebody from Firefly or, you know, mostly Firefly. And like, they're just like, man, it's weird how 20 years later, the show like has been off the air for over 20 years. Yet people are still like, God, I love that show. God, I love that show. What was it? Like a couple episodes and a movie and just love it. And Mikey is just such a prolific writer that I had the chorus and I had a couple lyric ideas, but I really didn't know where I wanted to go with it.
People want a special kind of tribute. You know, we're past doing, hey, take, you know, rip the footage from the DVD and do a music video. You know, it's like now people want to see just any kind of thing, whether it's something on DeviantArt or Instagram reel.
Well, I would also then, I mean, check out Mikey Mason because he's got a ton of songs about, you know, Firefly or anything like nerd related. And that guy's like one hell of a songwriter. I can't speak highly.
I mean, his last album was Impotent Nerd Rage. So, I mean,
that's a great album. One of his last. Yeah, I was on, I'm trying to remember. I was on M. I played keys for a bunch of songs for him. The first time I ever recorded a keyboard for him was I was flying back from playing a Can't Stop the Serenity event in Pittsburgh. And I got a text message when the plane landed saying, hey, did your plane land safe? Because I guess if it didn't, you won't be getting this text. And then I hadn't watched Stranger Things yet. And he's like, all right, I got a song called Upside Down. And it, like Stranger Things had just dropped that week on Netflix. So it's not like I was like really missing anything, but he sent me the song without lyrics because I was like, well, if you got spoilers, and he's like, it's spoiler free, but like, you know, I like to know nothing, and he respected that. So I got an instrumental version of it, and I know what he's into, so I kind of just like took a giant leap of faith and sent him some stuff. And he, like, every now and then I get the honor of playing some keyboards on a Mikey Mason track, and I really love getting to do that.
When you work with all these other fellow artists, and again, you leave just such good impressions in both the studio and just demoing it. How would you describe just the positive, just kind of just backdrop, the feeling that just runs through your veins at that point?
It really depends. I mean, I always, like you said, I always try to leave a positive impression. And sometimes it's just everybody has a crap day. So sometimes I've mailed stuff and then the next day I've been like, oh God, dude, don't use that shit. But I just always try to like, all right, what's the song saying? What vibe is he going for? And that, I'm just speaking of Mikey's tracks at the moment. But you know, but it's always like, what's the song saying? What's the vibe of the song? If I hear a vocal melody, I'll write something over it. Mikey had a great song where I was loving what the guitar player was playing so much in the solo that I harmonized it with a synth. So it gave me like a 70s prog rock feel. Sweet. And I was like, oh man, but it was just because I was having so much fun with it. I didn't know if he was going to use it or not, but I was like, oh God, I hope he does. I really hope he does.
Please.
I'll send him a million tracks. And if he uses all of them, that's awesome. And if he doesn't, that's still cool. Like, he's got enough ideas to work with. Whatever's going to work best for his vision of the song.
Very nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's really what it boils down to. And that's for anybody who wants to be a session cat. You're not playing for yourself. Nobody cares how good you are. They care about how good the song sounds. Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's not session musicians or people playing in tribute bands. It's not about how good you are. It's about, you recreating this vibe and this sound and this song that people know and love already.
Absolutely. And just furthermore, just the happy song was just so catchy. You know, just such a straightforward thing. And I really did feel just like invigoratingly, just like nothing else matters. I just want to just, you know, veg out, just zone out and realize that, you know, today's a happy day on earth. Who are you anyway? I was getting vibes of Tom Sawyer by Rush. I know it's a Rush track, but yeah.
Nice.
And just the way you were going to town on those acoustics was just very neat.
Cool. Thanks, man. Wow. Yeah. Who are you anyway? That lyric wrote itself.
I mean, we talked. It really did. But I mean, the passion was really the most illustrative there, I would argue. But
Cool.
It just, because now there you were just trying to say, hey, you know, we're doing a tribute, but we're doing our own thing. And, you know, the tip jar is over there. Just, you know, listen to this stuff we got to play today, because, wait, you know, it's very clear to me that, again, you're not playing around. You really want to have a lot of fun doing this while, again, as you've already illustrated before, it's just the music has to matter.
Absolutely.
We're not here, you know.
there's no, I personally don't get enjoyment out of watching somebody that I know is not
having fun. So.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, hey, I'm up here playing, but it's only because I need this money for blah, blah, blah. And it's like, there's no passion behind it.
It's
and like, I've done it myself too. Like, I can't name any musician who isn't guilty of like doing that gig that they didn't want to do, but they like were in a bind, or like, or they owed somebody a favor. Like, there are times like, oh, hey, I need a really huge favor. I know it's not your thing, but can you do this? And it's like, yeah, I you know, I kind of, sure, whatever. Like,
absolutely.
But you still got to try to, you know, enjoy or try to like, a lot of, especially in today's like music world, especially the pop side, like there's a lot of acting involved. You acting. Have to, if you're not having fun, you better look like you're having fun. You better be smiling the entire time.
The vibe you set in that room is really contagious, for better or worse. And
absolutely.
I have been to sci-fi horror conventions where the panelists were people I didn't know, and they were basically irritating people to buy their DVDs and Blu-rays. I have been to local stand-up comedy sessions where basically half the people were pulling a Jimmy Fallon. They were laughing at their own jokes, and it was kind of like, I don't know what you want us to do, because we're not laughing because we don't know what's funny. I'm not trying to be a dick. And you know, I worked on indie film projects that went to the shitter, and I was like, I learned the hard way, you know. Again, you know, time is invaluable, and I should have seen the writing on the wall. So it's just cool to know that you have, again, been able to continually work with these serious types and not feel like, man, that is, you know, all those days I want back, you know.
I mean, you know, I just want a couple of
a couple's, yeah, pretty good compared to I want 5 years, you know.
Well, no, I mean, everything is a learning experience, though. Like, I, you know, I've released albums that I pulled one,
but
recently,
you shouldn't have to
listen to
everything just to learn.
No. Well, that's true too. That's true.
You,
I mean,
should not
in this
have
day and age,
flood or $10 in your bank account, where you say, "Oh, maybe I got my head up my ass."
Well, I mean, I was almost there with the $10 in my bank account, but I think it was less than. I think it was maybe like $6 or $7. But I get what you're saying. I completely.
Either way, the days are behind you. So,
oh yeah, I've got today. I've got tomorrow. Well, all right, I've got today. I don't know if I'm. But what could happen tomorrow? I could get Donnie Darko and have a plane crash on my house. Who the fuck knows?
Like, don't do that. Have you thought of teaching some of your music sets, like doing that as another side hustle, doing some private music lessons?
I was teaching music privately, while also gigging a lot before I went into animal rescue. And when COVID happened, so I was balancing everything. When I first got this job, I was still teaching afterwards. So I just moved everybody around. So I was doing 12-hour days sometimes, or longer.
Man.
but I didn't mind it at all. And then when COVID happened, I kept the students I wanted to. And then the rest, I was like, I don't know what to do, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then the ones I wanted to keep, we did it all online.
Gotcha.
And then, you know, that's when I started, you know, using.
Zoom's a wonderful thing.
It is until it tells you, your time is up.
And, yeah.
you get that 40-minute message. But yeah, no, it's great though. And I was able to do that. So I still have a few students, which I really enjoy working with, which is why I still have a few students.
I just love your bluntness. I love it. any other artists that you'd like to also kind of recommend others check out, other peers of yours?
Oh, the Adventure Soundtrack. I was with them for a while. And I'm actually working on my own podcast, and it's going to be about my life in music and just like experiences I've had with either great musicians or like people that thought they knew what they were talking about, but clearly didn't. It's just going to run the gamut. But I recently left the band, the Adventure Soundtrack, but nobody's saying why. And I might say why, I might not say why. But we're never going to know. But like, it's going to be each episode of my next podcast will be like, oh, well, so the reason that Sean Faust is no longer with the Adventure Soundtrack, and it's going to be some cockamamie stuff, or it might be something close to the truth. It might be that because of some time travel, they hit the multiverse, and I'm just not the same Sean Faust that was in the Adventure Soundtrack in 2019.
Okay.
We'll never know. But I would definitely check out the Adventure Soundtrack because they're awesome. They're really, they were one of my favorite bands before I was playing with them. And they're from around here. And Chill Bill, a.k.a. Bird and Flight, and Robert Fulton are in that band as well.
Sweet.
So if you're loving that awesome playing that you heard on Happy Song, especially, you are in for a treat checking out the Adventure Soundtrack. Mikey Mason, of course. And I would love to plug Money for the Toll, because as much as we don't exist as a working band anymore, Gordon and I still have ideas. There's still a couple songs that didn't get recorded, you know, that are around. So I would definitely push on those. But yeah, Mikey and Adventure Soundtrack and Money for the Toll. And I know I'm forgetting somebody and I'm going to get a phone call. They'd be like, dude, what the hell? Are you mad at us? Yeah. And I'd be like, I don't know. I didn't hear you pushing my last gig.
Hey, this is why I take note during these Zoom meetings, so I don't have to re-listen when I'm already re-editing and trying to make everyone sound good. But in the New Jersey area, what are some music venues that you recommend artists play at?
You know, ever since COVID, I haven't really been gigging too much, but I remember loving a room called Mexicali Live that became
Mexicali.
Debonair Music Hall, but they're more on the harder side. That's in Teaneck. I haven't played there in a while. I love playing at a place in New Hope, Pennsylvania called John and Peters. It's not by Northern New Jersey, but John and Peters, New Hope, Pennsylvania. Probably my favorite room that I play these days. Birthplace of the band Ween, apparently. Just an overall great, great room. Starland Ballroom in Sayreville. I could start just listing a bunch of places. And there's some places now that I want to check out that I'd kind of like to branch out into in this area.
Nice.
So, and that's for original artists. For cover artists, anywhere will book you. Because people want familiarity. So when people these days are bitching about remakes and the same people, you think about this, man, same people that bitch about all these movies being remade are also the same people who be like, man, did you hear Disturbed's cover of Sound of Silence? It's so good. Like, why is it okay when it's a song but not a movie? Movies employ more people.
If we're just showing that there's all these guys trying to do gatekeeping and not even realizing they're doing gatekeeping. Mythic Quest show had a hysterical joke where they're talking about, it doesn't matter if the video game adaptation was good, the gamers are still gonna hate it.
Well, like, fair enough. Yeah.
And so I think, like you say, all you can do is keep being positive while finding people who are legit good at being constructive, because you can see, I mean, I do this podcast, I've lost track of how many people say I hate I hate Sully's voice, but he's got a great theme song. So I'm just like, I don't know what you want from me. Other than that, I'm going to keep doing this shit and I'm going to keep finding a better panel to host, but whatever.
Do it, man. I think you're awesome, brother.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you. But so how do you kind of just make your list of tasks to do each day?
Oh, God, I don't. I wake up, I feed my cats.
Some people don't. So no, that's
no, I mean, I wake up, I feed my cats. I have my coffee. I check my mail. I go to work.
Okay, sweet.
I come home.
That was yeah. 5 steps there.
That's it. Great. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And on my days off, I like to catch a flick if I can, or I catch up on reading, or, you know, I'm currently rewatching 6 Feet Under. I'm also rewatching The Wire. Hey. Looking forward to Breaking Bad again.
All the HBO classics. Nice.
What
sound equipment do you recommend for your music remastering?
Whatever works for you, to be honest. Like, okay, what I might like to use might not be for you. That's kind of like saying something. Oh, you like Fenders, okay, or you like Les Pauls? It's like, I like them both. Like, even Gilmore's my favorite guitar player, and he's really known for that Strat sound, that Stratocaster sound, but he also gets that sound out of a Les Paul. And I've watched him play a Les Paul live. So, I mean, like, that's, it doesn't matter. That's when people are like, oh, are you a David Gilmour or Roger Waters guy? You got to pick a side. Like, no, I don't. Like, I like them both. Okay. It's kind of like with Paul and John. Like, no, like, there were 4 guys. They were called the Beatles. They broke up. They all went off and did a solo thing. George did the best solo album. Paul's still going. Ringo's still going. Ringo's still pretending to play drums. Paul's still playing piano. Like, and I'm not saying that as a diss at Ringo at all. Everybody's doing their thing. So I'm not going to choose who. I'm going to go see Ringo. I love Ringo's lineup. I sadly never got to see Paul and probably now won't get to.
Well, we'll resurrect him via hologram.
Dude. Yeah. I mean, like, oh man, you know, what'd be good though, is if Tupac joins him.
Oh yes. And then it's a really zany but really catchy soundtrack.
That would be, I mean, hey, remember when Puff Daddy did Cashmere with Jimmy Page, so for that incredible Godzilla film.
There you go.
But here's the bottom line: like what you like, and just leave it at that. Like, if people that go around like shitting on what other people like, like, how about just find some meaning in your life and go with that? There's no reason to like be negative. Like, oh, well, you know, there's a movie where I just think the score ruins it. I'm not going to say what it is. But the score ruins it to the point where I hate the score so much. But I'll watch the movie and I'll be like, it's the Police Academy of that movie series. Because it's more of a comedy than a sci-fi film. So that might be a hint. Also, the bridge in the background is probably another hint for you. Hate the score to that movie so much, because it just, after James Horner, to go to this guy, you're like, this music makes no sense. But there, a friend of mine saw in the theater, loved hearing the score in the theater. I'm like, yeah, dude, you were sitting there in the theater, man. Even I would have loved that. But just like what you like, dislike what you dislike, but don't tell people that they're wrong for not liking what you're into or for liking what you're not into. People that like do that whole thing, they're miserable and I've got no time for them.
Exactly. And again, just trying to just spread it around is like, no. This doesn't do anything for anybody.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just another big whoop, you know,
gap in the road.
I don't have time to like sign a petition that, oh, episode 8 shouldn't be canon and they should remake episode 8, or like, oh, that Game of Thrones finale sucked. Here's a petition for them to remake it. Like, do you know how contracts work? Do you know how actors work? Like, they did their job. They fulfilled their contract. You
most
did not
really
like
don't
what
even
you got.
Care. It's like, yeah, every good movie or show is eventually going to go downhill if the more it's oversaturated, and it's tough to know that it works until you realize the hard way, yeah, this doesn't work, or it does work, or we're happy of it, but everyone else hates it. So that's the story. Sorry. You hate the last.
That's why Vince Gilligan was brilliant saying, you know what, Breaking Bad is going to have this definitive time limit, and we're going to make it work in this time limit. Same with Better Call Saul. It was a brilliant idea.
6 years. Yeah. That's it.
Everything was good to go, and that was it. there are shows that are great that still have some downer seasons, but I won't say them because I don't want to get lynched.
Criminal Minds. There's like two seasons I skip, and the rest is still good gory mayhem.
but those are also shows that aren't serialized. Like, you can go into any episode not knowing anything that went on. Like, maybe like, oh, this guy had an episode
they do
10 years ago.
But I don't
know.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like, SVU, like, used to not be serialized, and then it was like, they got some really good, they got Pablo Schreiber, on as, I can't remember the guy.
Star Trek various Will Lewis, yeah. Some of them have factions, and other times it's, you know, like X-Files or Twilight Zone, here's the experiment of the week.
yeah, and even X-Files, that last season was, one thing X-Files always got right, though, was the comedy episodes. The comedy episodes were always good, and they always nailed it.
Yeah.
But that series premiere, or that season premiere for 11, I was like, what's going on? Are you just saying every catchphrase to say every catchphrase?
Probably.
Oh,
doing it just to do it. So you've already outlined some just really neat retrospects on, again, you know, just balancing out day life with passion, live areas to go check out and try and play at. Are there any other just kind of just remaining tips and tricks? Because yes, everyone's different, but are there just some that you just think no one can really go wrong with if you just insert this into your repertoire of skills?
Just try to find the positive in everything. I mean, I went through a really bad depression incident last year that was it was mentally crippling, and it was a lot of work to get through it. But I've always had that mindset of like, just find the positive in every single thing. Even if it takes like a tremendous amount of work to do it, there's always that positive outcome no matter what. And like, sometimes you don't see it and it's right in front of you. And sometimes you'll just never see it, but like, focusing on the negative isn't going to change the situation. It's just you're going to keep spiraling. Always find the positivity and just be positive. If somebody around you is just bringing you down constantly, just get the hell away from them, however you can. I don't know, like, I'm so used to like doing the work that I do, or you know, before that, being an independent contractor, it's like, all right, I go to this person's house and teach, I go to this gig and do this thing. Like, but if it's a coworker, find a way to not be around them. If it's somebody you're in a band with, work that shit out. Or who pays the bills in that band? Whose band is it? That's how you work it out. Nobody's expendable in any band situation. Remember that. But I would just say, you know, always stay positive and adopt, don't shop.
I love it. Adopt, shop. Altogether, how would you describe this year so far? And aside from, you know, just getting through the rough previous year.
2.5 weeks in, I'm having fun. I'm not letting things get me down. And I made a conscious decision a few weeks ago, like, this is something that gets me down, I'm just not going to ignore it or put it on the back burner. I'm just like, it's not going to get me down because it's insignificant to me. So if there's a person that's bothering me, which I don't have that issue at the moment, but if there's ever a person bothering me, they're insignificant. They're just pushing their negativity. Like, oh, I feel crappy about myself, let me go mess with Sean. That's on them. Mm-hmm. People that want to be negative towards people are just insignificant to me. So I've just decided that, like, I don't really like to people anyway, which is why I work with animals.
Yep.
So, and it's probably why, like, I don't know. I was going to say something.
You're not dealing with all the toxic ones that you have to answer to every day.
Toxicity is no joke. And I just have no patience for it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
I know I'm the same way. My folks will be like, oh, don't you want to be around someone? So I'm like, no, I'm glad driving around in a car for a security company and only meeting people for like literally the first 10 minutes of the shift. You know, you need that area to yourself, really.
Absolutely. Yeah. And getting to do what I do, I get to have that. So, I mean, there's the people I work with who are great. I mean, if you choose to work with animals, like, that's that's a choice. That's like, I love animals. I want to care for these animals. You're a good person. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line. I mean, like, it doesn't mean that people can't be an a-hole every now and then, but at their core, that's a good person.
You're mostly all speaking the same language, though. Hey,
pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, but when adopters come by, it's very infrequent that there's somebody toxic that I can't stand, because, you know, they're also like, the adopters are vetted pretty well.
And if it's in person, you know, there is no Facebook block, you know?
Well, there's that too. Yeah. So
I'm like, sorry, your friend was being a real a-hole to me. I don't know what their deal is, but you don't say that to me, joking or not, you know? And it's just annoying to have to describe to some people, dude, chill. I'm like, I don't have to chill. I need you to stop saying that.
Yeah. It's not a situation where it's just smile and nod and it'll be over. Like, no, you know.
No. No, ha ha ha. No,
exactly. I mean, I know a lot of people, like, with my music decisions in the past year, are like very disappointed in it, but it's like, you know what? But that's my decision to make. Like, telling me what you want me to do, that I don't feel is in my best interest.
In that perspective, why do you think others like to say, I want to format you, sculpt you in this?
Because there are people that I enjoyed playing with that enjoyed playing with me, but like, it seemed to be like, you know, when I'm around for them. So but at the end of the day, it's fine. Like, I know that my new podcast is going to come out. People will say it's burning bridges, but what bridges? Like, anybody who's supports me is still supporting me.
Yeah.
And anybody that I'm probably going to describe without naming names, of course, but like, if they think it's them, cool. Maybe it is, but it's not burning a bridge if like, they're not supporting you or doing anything for you. You don't even speak anymore.
Yeah.
And for me, it's going to be a fun, light thing of like, here are things not to do. Here are things to do. And I mean, I'm a guy living in a house. I'm not some name that you're like seeing at Madison Square Garden every couple of years. I'm Sean Faust. I'm a name, you know, I'm a name that some people just go, oh my God, Sean Faust. Yeah, I like that guy. Or, oh my God, Sean Faust. He's kind of an abrasive dick. Either way, they know the name Sean Faust.
It kind of brings that whole thing is like, if you have to be nominated for an award to matter, then that's already wrong as it is. You know, you just have to be great.
Yeah. You know, be real, be honest with yourself and everybody else around you, and be real. But I mean, business doesn't always work that way. You can't always be 100% honest, because it might hurt feelings, and then that hurts, you know. People have to stay employed.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line.
Very nice. Very nice. So other than your upcoming podcast, any other last minute other things you wanted to throw out there? Or at we?
Sure. I mean, if you're in the New Hope, Pennsylvania area on Saturday, April 1st, from 3 to 6 p.m., there will be some live music. There's always live music at John and Peter's on Main Street in New Hope, Pennsylvania, Saturday, April 1st. Opening the show is my good friend Eddie Kamenetzer, who just opened recently, and it's just a good duo. Eddie opens, I play a long set, we have a good time at the historical John and Peter's on Main Street, New Hope. That's Saturday, April 1st. It's April Fool's Day, so I'm planning something weird. I just don't know what. Or am I really planning something weird? Who knows? Maybe the Sean Faust of the multiverse will like show up with a keyboard. Maybe he won't. Maybe Mike Portner will show up, but probably not. He's not scheduled to perform. And then Live Volume 4, 50-50, is coming out Friday, February 3rd. It's going to be a Bandcamp exclusive for now. So seanfaust.bandcamp.com. That's nice. Where to get it. Buy my music. Buy my music. And then go to iTunes and buy my music. Go to Amazon and buy my music. Go to Bandcamp. Just buy my music. Isn't that? I know you've never heard of me, but buy my music. I wrote one line of dialogue in episode 23 of V that never got filmed or finished being written in 1984. That's yes. So buy my book. Nice. I did no writing on V, just for the record.
I love
much
it.
To my chagrin. Right on, brother.
I this was a party. I'm glad I could be part of it.
Thanks for having me, man. This was definitely a fun time.
Absolutely.
us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jacked up.